The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The conflict has continued in the Middle East overnight as we now enter day 11 of the war in Iran. Let's get the latest from the region now. I'm joined by international editor with Channel 4 News, Lindsay Hilsum, who's currently based in Beirut. Lindsay, thank you for taking our call this morning. You spoke to the justice minister in Lebanon yesterday. You witnessed some of the attacks in the southern suburbs of Beirut. Can you explain to us what's happening there and why?
Well, this is really a second front in the war, Claire. So everybody is aware of the US and Israeli strikes on Iran and Iran attacking the Gulf countries in response. But then you also have Lebanon. Now, in Lebanon, you have Hezbollah, which is a paramilitary group, a state within a state, which is backed by Iran. And Israel is taking advantage of this moment to do whatever it can to destroy Hezbollah. But the Lebanese government, they do not want Hezbollah to continue to act as it does. They want to take control of their complete state. So they say that they are trying to disarm Hezbollah, that they are trying to bring the army to be the only people who have weapons here. But that's a very difficult thing in Lebanon. It's very difficult because you have all of these different factions and so on. They've asked the Israelis if they can negotiate. They've asked the Americans for help to negotiate with the Israelis. And they just say, no, you've failed to disarm Hezbollah, so we are just going to crush them. Mm-hmm. The justice minister who I was speaking to yesterday, he was like, we are doing our best. We are trying. We are taking Hezbollah members to court. We're doing all that we can to get rid of members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps who are in this country. We're doing everything we can. It's always very difficult, but it is impossible under intense, relentless Israeli bombardment, the kind of which we saw yesterday in the southern suburbs of Beirut.
I mean, it was quite extraordinary to watch how you described it yesterday and the justice minister saying, we're asking them to leave. But you say it's a state within a state. So, you know, you can say to the Lebanese government, well, you're not trying hard enough, but it is an intractable situation, isn't it?
It is an intractable situation. Having said that, the Israelis attacked Hezbollah. As people may remember in 2024, people may remember the pagers that the Israelis had hacked that went off and killed a lot of the Hezbollah leadership. Now, Hezbollah is weaker than it has ever been, and that is because of Israeli attacks. But so now the Lebanese government feels that it is in a better position to try and assert its own authority. And the difficulty is with this intense Israeli bombardment, which has involved clearing the southern part of the country, basically forcing all the people to leave. You've now got 700,000 Lebanese who have been displaced. And you've got immense destruction across the south of the country and increasing destruction in the southern suburbs of Beirut. And of course, that makes people angry. It does not make people want to comply with the Lebanese government. Some of the people I was talking to yesterday were saying, well, who's standing up to the Israelis? Only Hezbollah. The Lebanese government would say, no, Hezbollah is provoking Israel. But many of the people on the ground, particularly Shia Muslims, they are saying, no, Hezbollah are the ones who are defending us. It becomes a very complicated situation.
And then Donald Trump's statement overnight that the war is almost done. We have achieved our aims. A bit more to do, but we're nearly there. How is that news being greeted where you are?
With a lot of cynicism, because he says that, and yet Pete Hegseth, his defense secretary or war secretary, says that they've only just started. And also, everybody, ending the war is not just in the hands of the Americans. The Iranians can continue to attack shipping to try and close the Straits of Hormuz. They can continue to exact a price, even if the Americans stop bombing them. And here in Lebanon, people feel that whatever the Americans do, the Israelis have free rein and that the Israelis are going to continue to bombard this place because the Americans are not doing anything to stop them. The only people who could get the Israelis to show some restraint are the Americans. And it's quite clear that they're not going to do that.
So the sense then is that even if the Americans stop their assault on Iran, Israel could continue to attack southern Lebanon.
Absolutely, because this is what Israel has been doing. There was a ceasefire towards the end of 2024, which Hezbollah did keep on the whole, and the Israel did not keep on the whole. And so Israel now feels completely free to continue to bombard southern Lebanon and the southern suburbs of the capital. And I think that whatever the Americans decide to do in the broader war in Iran, this conflict here has its own momentum.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
And the people you spoke to in the southern suburbs of Beirut, I mean, they are very vociferous in the defense of Hezbollah's actions. They say they feel absolutely justified in firing across the border into Israel. And they point to the 15-month-old ceasefire, which they say Israel has never adhered to, in their view.
Absolutely. And other Lebanese I've spoken to, on the whole, Christians and Sunnis, not Shiites, say exactly the opposite. They say, we are with the government of Lebanon. We want Hezbollah to stop provoking Israel. Hezbollah is just causing problems for this country. They should hand in their weapons. They should become a political party like all other political parties and religious factions, because they say that Hezbollah, backed by Iran, is holding this country hostage. And what they're doing is provoking Israel into raining these bombs onto this country. So you can see how divided Lebanon is. And the danger in Lebanon is always that these divisions will end up with civil war again, as they had here in the 1970s. And that is what people fear most of all.
Lindsay, thank you very much for your time. Lindsay Hilsum there joining us from Beirut. Well, we asked the question this morning about Donald Trump's proclamation that the war is almost over, and we asked you whether you believe it. This listener says Trump is lying. He was sent out to calm the markets and stabilize the oil price. Well, let's talk about the impact of this conflict now on us here in Ireland and the fears that energy costs are only going to worsen. I'm joined by lecturer on energy at UCC, Dr. Paul Dean. Paul, good morning to you. I mean, regardless of what happens in the coming hours, whether you believe Donald Trump or not, there is a sense that when it comes to what we're paying for, everything from home heating oil to petrol at the pumps to our electricity to heat our homes, the damage is done, really.
Yeah, that's correct, Claire. I think, look, all eyes of the world are really on the Strait of Hormuz from an energy perspective at the moment. And even though the future is very uncertain and very unclear, I suppose what we can say, Claire, with a lot of certainty, is that the longer that Strait of Water stays closed, the less oil that's going to get out into global markets. And that means that when there's less oil to go around, prices will go up. Now, what's interesting, Claire, I suppose, even though the Strait of Hormuz, it's only about 40 miles wide and about 4,000 kilometres away from us, it significantly impacts what we are paying for driving our cars, for heating our homes, and maybe even potentially later on for generating our electricity. So really, I suppose the best outcome at the moment, if we want to see a softening of petrol and diesel prices in the near term. What we would need to see is a clear signal that the strait is opening, and that would mean more oil can be released onto global markets. Now, that doesn't mean, Claire, that prices would then again collapse and return to what they were 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it would mean a softening of market prices. But as you said, and as Lindsay said there previously, it's just chaos and irrationality at the moment, and it's very difficult to understand what the line of sight is out of this crisis. Mm-hmm.
And were you surprised that the markets reacted in the way that they did to Donald Trump? Because as Lindsay said, it's not the Americans who fully control what happens when it comes to energy. I mean, Iran could well decide to continue their blockade of the Strait of Hormuz after the Americans go home.
That's correct. And look, we could see a completely different story coming out onto the markets tomorrow. I suppose the challenge from an energy perspective, particularly for energy commentators like myself, is that we often try and attach retrospectively a kind of a logic to some of the decisions made by President Trump around energy, because a lot of them seem irrational. So we're trying to find method in the madness. But you come to a point at some time or another when you realize that there isn't any method. There is just madness. And it's what's happening in Iran at the moment. There doesn't seem to be a clear plan. There doesn't seem to be a rational explanation. And in the absence of those things, I think the markets will remain very, very jittery. If there is bad news or a significant headline coming from Iran tomorrow, I think that could reverse a lot of the softening that we have seen in oil prices this morning. Mm-hmm. So it's incredibly chaotic, incredibly uncertain.
Yeah, and you say we also need to keep an eye on what's happening in Qatar. So we know that Iran has targeted Qatar. They produce huge amounts of LNG. How does that impact us?
Yeah, so this is very important for us in Ireland. And look, we've spoken a number of times, Claire, about electricity generation in Ireland. Ireland is unusual because on a relative basis, we burn and purchase more natural gas to generate electricity than most other countries in Northwest Europe. So about half of the electricity we're generating throughout the year comes from natural gas. And even though we're not physically connected via pipelines to the Middle East for gas, we're connected via prices. And one of the major suppliers of liquid natural gas into the global markets is Qatar. Now, Qatar is just across the water on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz from Iran, and they have shut down their gas production facility at the moment in response to the war. That is a big major event within energy markets at the moment. So what energy traders and analysts are watching at the moment again is that how long will that gas production facility stay closed? And while it's uncertain, I suppose, Claire, to understand the future, what we know is that, again, that the longer that stays shut down and the wider the conflict rises, the greater the likelihood of gas prices increasing. Now, when it comes to gas and electricity prices, there's often a much longer lag between a crisis and a rise in energy bills. It can be anything from 4 to 8 months just because of different hedging strategies that companies use. But I would be worried at the moment, Claire, when I'm looking at gas prices, particularly future gas prices, which have increased, and our exposure to natural gas prices in Ireland, I think there could be some bad news coming up during the summer. Now, just to caveat that, I don't think this is going to be anything like the previous energy crisis that we had when Russia interrupted their flows of gas into Ukraine. It's going to be nothing like that. But at the moment, the writing is on the wall for modest increases in electricity in Ireland, maybe over the spring or summer months, unless something dramatically positive happens in the Gulf over the next week or 10 days.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for bringing us that little dose of reality after Donald Trump's optimism overnight.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.